welcome back to the Divorce Solutions Podcast, everyone. I'm Jamie West from West Pro Mediation and Consulting, along with Tracy Miller, veteran family lawyer with Miller Law in Mediation. Tracy, good to have you back, and good to be back together and all of that stuff. We've got an exciting program today because it's focusing on you.
Yeah.
Not you and not me.
Oh,
but
sorry.
You, the listener.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, when we were talking about it and you think maybe we need to explain what self-care is, what we mean, because we've certainly referred to that term an awful lot, I think, on these podcasts.
We have. And, you know, self-care is one of those words in the new, I call it the new societal lexicon. It's used a lot out there on the streets mm-hmm. these days. People sometimes use it as an excuse for not doing things that they should, for not living up to their responsibilities. Oh, I'm engaging in self-care, therefore I didn't get that task done at work and I let you down. But in the context of separation or decoupling or divorce, it's a serious matter. It's serious matter. And it's something that we really do need to focus on. And the better you are at self-care, the better your result in getting your matter resolved will be. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think if you look after yourself, if you have kids, you're just a better version of yourself if you do that. And I think even if you don't have kids and you're going through a separation, it can't be said often enough, don't underestimate the stress you're under. Just don't underestimate it, because I think people do. And, you know, it can be debilitating. And it obviously affects your ability, if you're not looking after yourself, it affects your ability to think clearly and make decisions at a time when it's pivotal that you can.
Well, there's no question about that. And I think that a lot of people, when they are first going through separation, when I say that, when they're first going through it, when it's brand new, in the first few weeks, we'll say, of it sinking in that this is happening, there's a shock that's happening to a lot of people where they're in a bit of denial about it. In fact, you know, some professionals have said people go through the five stages of grief.
I wouldn't doubt that a bit.
You know, and one of the first stages is denial that it's happening. And people, I think, Tracy, correct me if I'm wrong, go into fight or flight, or they go into a survival type of mode, mentally and emotionally. Some people really isolate themselves. Some people get out there a little too much. And no, they do. And
that's true.
They overshare, and they anybody that comes near them, they want to tell their story to about their terrible separation that's just happened. And the circumstances are the same, you know.
I think people are afraid a lot of it. I think people are angry and afraid all at the same time. I think a lot of people don't want to be separated. They don't know how the hell they ended up being separated. They didn't want to be one of those people that now has to figure out how they're going to start splitting assets and sharing time with their kids. They just don't want it to be happening. And especially if you're that person, yeah, like that's a lot of stress. And on the other side of that is the people that have been figuring out for years that they were going to separate. And I see a lot of those people, right? You see a lot of people that go, you know, I've been thinking about this for years, and I just, for a million different reasons, never put it into play. And they're the same people that'll come in and see me, and then you see them 6 months later or a year later when they make a decision, right? So, yeah, I think there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiety.
Right. So, you know, once you get to the point where, you know, maybe the shock is starting to wane a little bit, and you're getting into the mode of, I don't know. Usually there's something, some people usually notice something. I'm feeling really, really tired, or I can't sleep, or I'm losing weight, or I'm gaining weight, or I'm not seeing friends, or I'm mad at everybody, and I'm arguing with people that I don't normally argue with or have conflict with, et cetera, et cetera. That's around the time that's going on. That's the point at which hopefully, you know, you can say to yourself, okay, I got to do something about this. So what do you think people can do?
you know, I think people need to be proactive about it, right? And I'm, again, we say this every day, every time we do a podcast, I'm not giving out counseling advice or medical advice or anything else. No. But I can tell you, when I thought about this podcast, the range of things I've seen people do over the years to try and do self-care, which has worked. And obviously the easy one's physical activity, right? I have seen people start to run. I've seen people who decided they were going to do a marathon and they never run before. I remember one guy and he decided to start working out. He hadn't worked out at all. And over the space of the year after he'd been separated, it was ridiculous the shape this guy was in.
Another
client I had recently, super nice guy. He ended up starting really eating healthy, paying attention to what he was eating, taking up hiking, made a lot of friends in that community. He's in much better shape than he was. I mean, you run the gamut. I had one guy that was kickboxing and he hadn't done that. I've had people that, a lady recently who's decided she's going to volunteer because that's positive for her.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And she gets so much out of that, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, family, go to your family doctor. If that's the route you feel that it's going to be the most beneficial. Like I've had people that do that. They do counseling, they mediate. I mean, there's so much out there you can do.
I think that the first step when I'm talking to people is I'll ask them when I'm doing intake is when was the last time you saw your family physician?
Mm-hmm.
Some people will say, oh, I don't know, about 8 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm in perfect health. Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. And I encourage people. I'd say, you know what? Wouldn't hurt you to maybe go and just see your family doctor. When people are a little off kilter, obviously I recommend everybody go to therapy.
Oh, absolutely. I was just going to say
that. It's a no-brainer. Yep. You know, pardon the pun. It's a no-brainer to go to therapy.
But the vast majority of clients that you see at some point are going to be getting some counseling or they're going to go therapy. And I always, as soon as I hear people say, well, I'm already doing it, you think, thank God, good for you.
And for those that aren't, for those that may be listening to the podcast today who are thinking, I'm going through this and I'm stressed out, but I don't believe in therapy. I just, you know, it's a bunch of psychobabble mumble jumbo. I'm really going to encourage you to rethink that.
Yeah.
Just please rethink that. There's different forms of therapy. All therapy isn't the same. There's different therapeutic interventions that are geared specifically toward the things that you as an individual are dealing with or feel. It's never been a better time in the history of therapeutic interventions to be actually engaging in it.
And some of it you can do by Zoom. You don't have to actually go there. I think some of it, a lot of it is covered at least in part by benefits and, you know, give it a shot, right? Give it a shot. I mean, there's no downside to it.
And you should see your family physician. I know that's tough these days too. You know, everybody reads the articles that are out there. Family physicians are in short supply and it's hard to get appointments and so on, but do your best. And again, a lot of those are done now. Those consults are done by phone. They're done virtually. But get a baseline. Get a baseline for yourself, especially if you haven't seen a family physician for a number of years. You haven't been for an annual checkup or whatever. Have a discussion with your family physician and let that professional then suggest to you what he or she may think would help you at this particular time with the situation that you're in.
And you know what the other thing has occurred to me when I was thinking this about this topic is some people it's getting information on what's going to happen, right? And if that works for you, if that reduces your anxiety level, then go online and do some research, go and talk to an accountant about how these issues would work out for you. There's some people that's a really powerful thing for them to do because you get clients to come in and man, they have done their homework. They can, you know, which is awesome. I don't ever think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, people that know what the tax effect is, they know what my support calculator says. They've taken all the steps they can take to try and get information so they know what's going on. I think that's a form of self-care too.
I do too. Educating yourself, having information instead of sitting on the couch thinking, okay, I'm going to try and watch this movie, but really you're sitting there ruminating about the questions that you should be asking an accountant, for example, then do it. Because once you've done it, you're going to feel relieved to have the information. even if all the answers aren't exactly what you wanted to hear, you're still going to get a form of relief mentally by at least having the information. So you're absolutely right about that. That's a really critical one. And give yourself permission. This is one I always say to people. Give yourself permission to take care of yourself. There's a lot of, I don't know whether this is a North American societal thing, but we have this, you know, we have this drive to get out there and generate the bucks and make the money and go, 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 and say yes to everybody and please everybody. And, you know, there's only so many hours in the day. You know what? Give yourself permission to cut some time out of that insane schedule and say, you know what? This is my 15 minutes to meditate today. Yeah. This is what I'm going to do. This is my 15 minutes to go for a walk along the trail and feed the birds. You're allowed to do that. You know, nobody's going to come to you and hit you with a big stick and say, you know what are you doing? That's 15 minutes. You could have been out making a sales call.
Yeah. And I think for people, when they're in the middle of a separation or divorce, when it seems like their entire world's being turned upside down at times and they don't know what the hell's going on. Yeah, absolutely. The point in time where you need to have some designated time where you're just going to cut yourself a break. Right. You're going to do something positive, something that moves you ahead, as opposed to just trying to slug your way through it. Or like you said, just sit on the couch with a box of beer and sit and watch TV. That's not going to get it done for you.
Yeah. The self-medicating, whether it's with sleeping pills, benzos, alcohol, weed, whatever.
It's frightening. Yeah. It's frightening.
Please don't go down that road. If you feel like you want to go down that road, all the more reason to talk to a medical professional about those thoughts and feelings and get some help that way. It's all there. And, you know, think about the people in your life who are confidants. Think about the people that are closest to you that you can share these feelings with and be vulnerable around and bring them in. You know, you're not asking them for accounting advice. You're not asking them for legal advice. They're your friends. And they're there to help you with what you're going through emotionally and what you're feeling that may be negative and maybe not in the best interest of your self-care. That's what friends are for, as they say.
Yeah, and it might not be, you know, it's not necessarily going to be an easy few months, 6 months, a year, whatever, to get through this. But the people that focus on a plan and figure out how they're going to deal with it or what are they going to do that puts them in a positive space. Then when you do have to talk to your divorce lawyer, which is me, you don't avoid the call or avoid the email or I don't want to deal with it or I'm going to put my head in the sand. I mean, it's in my head. That's all people that just aren't in a place where they can deal with it, right? And it's just going to take you that much longer and cost you that much more.
Right. So we bring it right around sort of to the beginning of where we came in here. And often, again, people at the start are the least, at the beginning of separation, are the least likely to be even thinking about self-care. But we're saying to you today, that's actually the place you should begin.
Absolutely.
That's the start. The start is make that the priority. And then all the other things that you know you've got to get resolved, the money stuff, the parenting stuff, all of that stuff, you'll get that resolved much easier if you're in a better position mentally, emotionally, and physically.
Oh, absolutely. You're going to be able to come to the table and you know, with some clarity, deal with issues, or even better, you're going to be in a better headspace to deal with your kids, right?
For sure. All right. It's the part in the program where we sell a little soap here. No, we're doing our disclaimer. And it's your turn. You're up. So grab the script and read it, will you?
All right. I know I'm going to get rated on this by you because that seems to be how we're doing this
and
now.
And I'm tough, so. So watch it.
All right. Here we go. The Divorce Solutions Podcast is only a discussion of legal, therapeutic, financial, and communication issues that can arise in the context of a family separation. This podcast is not intended to give you any advice on your personal situation. Every situation is different. You should consult your own lawyer for legal advice on your particular case. We hope our discussions will make our listeners take a close look at the process options that are available to them. Nothing discussed on this podcast constitutes individual professional advice specific to the listener's personal circumstances, whether that's legal, therapeutic, financial, or otherwise. As we stress every show, you need to get your legal advice from your own lawyer, your accounting advice from an accountant, and therapy from a therapist. And we hope that you can resolve the issues in your situation in a cost-effective, expeditious way that will benefit your family. How did I do?
I'm going to give you an 8 again.
Oh, get the hell out of here. I didn't.
Yeah, I think, listen, it was an 8. I wouldn't exactly say you were mailing it in or anything, but
I'm appealing it. Your decision sucks. I'm going over your head.
There you go. There you go. The lawyers back in the room, everybody. Yeah. It was good. I think you need to go and do a little self-care today. And recharge yourself.
Absolutely.
And then the next time you do the disclaimer, it'll have a little more oomph, a little more energy, you know? But
maybe I'll practice in front of a mirror or something. I don't know. Yeah.
You're coming right along. Tracy, how do people get a hold of you if they'd like to reach out?
It's Miller Law and Mediation. You can find me online, and it's tracy@miller-law.ca if you want to email me.
There you go. And my practice is called Westpro Mediation and Consulting. jwest@divorcecom.ca is the email. And thanks for listening to the podcast, everybody. And let everybody know that we're here, and share it and send it to anybody you think might benefit from it. And Tracy, as always, thank you so much for everything that you bring to the table. I look forward to the next one.
Thanks. We'll see you next time.